Christmas came early for the Philadelphia School District this year. The University of Pennsylvania pledged $100 million to go toward fixing unsafe school buildings. They'll give $10 million each year for the next decade. But activists have been calling for a donation like this for years. They've been asking Penn to pay something called pilots.
Pilots are payments in lieu of taxes.
As a nonprofit, Penn doesn't have to pay taxes to the city on the property it owns, which is valued at $3.2 billion. Activists have long said it isn't fair Penn is exempt. So why is Penn making this donation now? And what kind of difference could the money make? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. We asked Emily Dowdall to walk us through the history of Penn and pilots. She's policy director at Reinvestment Fund, a community development financial institution.
Not every nonprofit is created equal. There are some tiny one-room nonprofits located in neighborhoods throughout the city that do things like tutoring or organize neighborhood cleanups. What you think of as these do-gooder organizations where they don't have a lot of extra cash on hand. But then you compare that to an Ivy League university, world-class university, with an endowment that is in the billions. And, you know, these are different things. And so the idea is these wealthier nonprofits have both the ability and sort of a responsibility to give back to their communities. Some of the arguments for pilots are also equity-based in that these institutions may themselves be very well off and located in cities that are struggling. Philadelphia is well known for having the highest poverty rate among the 10 largest cities, and then we have some very wealthy institutions. And so people take a look at that and they think, this isn't fair. This would be a good place to look to sort of spread some of that wealth around.
Has Penn ever paid pilots before?
They have. So there was a period in the 90s when they paid, I think it was about $2 million a year under a deal that was worked out with Mayor at the time, Ed Rendell. Again, that wasn't a whole lot of money. When you look at what they would have paid in property taxes had they not been nonprofit versus $2 million a year, it didn't completely replace that amount of revenue. But they did actually give some money towards the city budget.
But that deal ended and those payments stopped. Have they done anything else in the meantime to make up for the fact that they didn't pay taxes on their property?
Penn does point to a lot of contributions they make to the city and into West Philadelphia in particular. So there is the Penn Alexander School in University City. Penn Alexander School opened in 2001, and it came to be as part of a partnership between the School District of Philadelphia and University of Pennsylvania. Penn has said they have paid about $25 million towards the school since it was opened. The university really wanted to invest in its neighborhood in a way that could benefit residents and that would also appeal to faculty and staff.
But haven't many critics said that Penn invested in the school to help its staff and then really changed the character of University City, which is much more affluent and white?
Yeah, so I think the Penn Alexander School is a really great example of the tensions inherent in making place-based investments in community development. On one hand, it shows this progressive outlook that Penn understood that quality schools were a really important part of neighborhood appeal and neighborhood stability. The idea was by subsidizing a really high quality elementary school, more Penn faculty and staff would want to live nearby in the neighborhood. And there would be just this sort of healthy relationship between the neighborhood and the university by supporting this local school. Now, pouring all of that money into an elementary school also created what economists might call a shock to the system, right? So suddenly this free public education, but very high quality and subsidized by Penn became available in West Philadelphia. And people with means were willing to pay more for homes in the neighborhood. So over time, what has happened is that the population inside the catchment has changed. It's become higher income. It's become whiter. And the school population has also become higher income and whiter over time as well.
Yeah, Emily. And as far as the school was concerned, Penn Alexander, you know, got so popular that they had to have a lottery system to get kids in. And even if your kid lived in the catchment, there was no guarantee that they could get in.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and full disclosure, I'm a Penn Alexander parent. And when my son was entering kindergarten, there was a waiting list of 30 kids. People who live in the catchment couldn't go to the school because the demand was too high.
I know that we've seen a lot of student activism surrounding the demand for pilots. I read in the Daily Pennsylvanian that in 2014, the students actually staged a die-in at President Amy Gutman's holiday party.
We are doing everything we can now
in helping
public schools,
police school. If we shout at each other, we're not going to make good.
You have the mic.
There has been increasing activism and organizing around pilots across the city. One of the differences in recent years is that the campus organizing has really spread from the students to the faculty and staff. And I think that that made for a much more powerful message when the faculty was out there calling for these payments as well.
When we come back.
So what do you do with the fallout of the pandemic? What do you do with the conversation about racial justice and institutional racism? Well, this is a way that Penn can really be a leader on those fronts.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Emily Daldol, Policy Director at Reinvestment Fund, about Penn's $100 million pledge to the Philadelphia Public Schools, the largest private donation ever made to the district. So last week, Emily, Penn made this surprising announcement that they would donate $100 million. The money is supposed to go specifically towards fixing deteriorating school buildings. Is this like a pilot?
You know, it sure sounds an awful lot like a pilot, even though the university has been sort of at pains to say that it is absolutely not a pilot. And, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why the university is interested in making this donation at this time. And I think some of that has to do with the activism around pilots. And I think some of it has to do with the new focus on school building quality, as there have been debates over reopening the schools during this coronavirus pandemic that we're in. And also the racial justice conversation that we've been having in this country, and of course, in the city of Philadelphia with the killing of Walter Wallace. There are so many reasons that folks are now focused on inequity, on school building quality, and on the connection between physical facilities and health.
Gutman has also cited recent reporting on the conditions in school buildings, and she pointed out deferred maintenance had included problems with lead and asbestos in schools.
And I read a lot about the environmental issues in the schools and was struck by the idea that partnering with the School District of Philadelphia, Penn could make an immediate and meaningful impact.
Do you think that that had been part of her decision, just more awareness around that issue?
I think that the need for addressing actively dangerous conditions in schools has been brought to light by a few events in the last few years. So first of all, there was a teacher who had mesothelioma, which is connected to asbestos.
This teacher taught in Philly schools for 30 years. She now has a cancer directly linked to asbestos.
And second, there was this very well-publicized debacle of the opening of a combined high school with the Science Leadership Academy and Benjamin Franklin High School.
And the asbestos was found in a building that Ben Franklin High and Science Leadership Academy share, so this is affecting a lot of kids, about 1,000.
And the school district ended up spending a lot of money to remediate the situation. And now the facility question has come up in all of the hearings around whether schools should reopen at all this year during the pandemic. Again and again, folks have been sounding these alarms about the health conditions in schools, and I think that the broader public is now more in tune to understanding that the ventilation system of a school could be the difference between a COVID-19 outbreak or not having one.
So, you know, all these things have converged at once, the pandemic and, you know, the protests for racial justice. I'm wondering if all these things together put sudden political pressure on Penn. And if so, why Penn? Why not any other institution?
Well, in a way, these anchor institutions, they're to a degree insulated from political pressure. These are private institutions, they have private funding, and the type of pressure they're probably going to be most susceptible to is from their own faculty and staff, their own donor base, but they also do really care about how they're perceived in the world. And so I don't know if political pressure is exactly the right term to apply, but I think the environment is one in which not acting becomes less of a viable strategy if you want to be seen as a leader in addressing the world's greatest problems, which I think Penn wants to be seen as. So what do you do with the fallout of the pandemic? What do you do with the conversation about racial justice and institutional racism? Well, this is a way that Penn can really be a leader on those fronts.
If not now, when? It's the right thing to do at the right time, and this will make an immediate, meaningful difference in the lives of public school children and teachers, not only now, but for generations to come.
And why Penn and not Jefferson or Drexel or Temple? Well, I think a lot of it has to do with Penn, again, being much larger in size in terms of the number of people they employ, as well as having that larger endowment. I know that a lot of the sort of response in the last few days as this news came out was, we hope that it's not just Penn. This needs to be a signal to the other anchor institutions that they should also come in and make a substantial contribution at this time.
You know, this is also a departure for Penn because its donation is to the school district as a whole, just not in West Philly. Does that mean that they're no longer focusing on West Philadelphia?
You know, it is so interesting that they're giving money to the school district as a whole. And I think that reflects an evolved thinking about what commitment to community means. For so long, Penn understandably was really focused on its West Philadelphia neighborhood, both on supporting commercial development, on supporting the Penn Alexander School as well. And that's because their view was outward from the campus. What has happened is they've hit up against the limits of neighborhood-based investment. So there's only so much impact you can have by making sure that there's a grocery store near campus. There's only so much impact you can have by providing one elementary school. Also seeing the negative aspects that can come about through development. Now there's a point at which Penn doesn't have to worry so much about the fortunes of its own neighborhood, but instead they have to think about the well-being of the school district and of the city as a whole.
So on the one hand, $100 million is a lot of money, and the school district has never received a donation this large. But on the other hand, The district estimates actually repairing all of their buildings would cost about $4.5 billion. So really, in reality, Emily, how much of a difference will this donation make?
It's not $100 million all at once. It's actually spread out over 10 years. So it's more of a down payment on what the school district needs to invest in its facilities to really bring them up to good standing for every student across the district. At the same time, it's not nothing. It's really important, especially at this time. This is such a critical point to invest in our school facilities for the future. And I think it's such an important time for leaders in the city, both public sector leaders and also civic sector leaders like the leadership at Penn, to really show that they get this need to commit to racial equity as well.
Emily, thank you so much for just explaining this whole idea to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a really great conversation.
That was Reinvestment Fund's Policy Director, Emily Daldo. This disclosure, the University of Pennsylvania is a donor to WHYY. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd Circa, Buffy Gorilla, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Ariella Cohen. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. We'll be off Thursday for Thanksgiving, but we'll see you Monday. Have a wonderful holiday.